You can share my tub, but you might go out with the bathwater.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tubs galore.
For real. When my friends talk behind my back, I say, shaka, excuse me. I don't know. I could not think of one.
That's so dumb. But so funny. Shaka, excuse me.
Shaka, excuse me.
That's, I don't want to like that.
It's two puns from two different shows put into one.
I don't. I refuse to like it.
But you did.
Anyways,
this is Privileged Twinks.
Hello, my name's Travis. And that's Tyler.
And my name's Tyler.
And we're Privileged Twinks.
And we're Privileged Twinks. And today, apparently, we're getting loopy hour.
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock. Normal time.
Not PM. Yeah.
I'm a little loopy because I've just been recording a bunch of videos, and I just feel crazy. And I feel like my voice might go out. But anyway, we are recapping episode 10.
Okay, for some reason, in my notes, I wrote 12. But then when I looked at the episode thing, it said 10. So I don't know where I lost count. If we lost count on the previous episode 2, but it's a 10. So I guess we're on 10.
I said 9 last time. I've done it the last 2 times.
Oh.
So we're right. It's on 10.
Yeah, instead of adding 2, I times it by 4 and subtracted 3.
Okay. Well, this episode was the one where they travel to the spa. And by spa, they mean natural springs in the middle of nowhere that have like ancient bathtubs.
Ancient. Okay. We'll get to that.
I'm just saying that's what the episode that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just catching up, we are recapping season 1 while we're on the off season.
This is a very chaotic introduction. I'm so sorry.
What else did you... Well, I had some stuff I wanted to talk about.
I know. Well, we will be recapping a season 1, episode 10 of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. But before we get into that, Tyler, do you have any other topics, shows you want to discuss?
Well, yes.
Props to your mama. Thanks for spilling.
Teresa Giudice is going to be on House of Villains.
Yeah.
I think I maybe said that last week.
I never really thought of her as a villain. I don't think she gives villain energy. I think she's just kind of chaotic.
Well, I mean, also Candy Muse is on it, and I didn't think of her as a villain. Okay, someone comes for Candy and she fights back. That's not villain behavior. If anything, Tamisha needs to be on House of Villains.
That I agree with that. I agree. Well, I mean, I don't think she has enough.
Don't go. Yeah, I agree. But I think we did talk about that last week. The other news this week in Housewives news is that all 6 cast members are returning to Roni from the new era, including Jenna Lyons.
But then I didn't understand why people were like, I didn't know that she might not be coming back.
Okay, well, Jenna like basically has been shit talking the show on like podcasts and stuff like that. And she took Real Housewives of New York out of her Instagram bio. So people just kind of assumed she was like parting ways with the show.
Oh, and did you hear what she said about it? Like, what was she saying?
I don't know. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Must not have been entertaining, Mom.
Well, I mean, that's kind of her thing.
Ooh.
I like that we have an openly gay or queer person on Housewives. I just wish that they weren't so, like, it's the same thing that was happening last year.
I almost said, when you said that, I thought you were, I was like, are you going to bring up Miami? Because when you said that, I was like, who?
Jenna Lyons.
I forgot about it.
So we love queer representation, but she already has done another interview post announcing she's going to be on the show. And someone was like, are you going to introduce your new girlfriend? Because she has like a long-term girlfriend now. Or like, I guess, 2-year relationship.
Sure.
She said, we will not be even bringing up her name on the show. So again, we're going to get guarded Jenna that tells us nothing about her life, except watching her put up a Christmas tree with her son.
I have a controversial opinion on this, apparently. I think, I do think it is easier to relate to people when on reality TV, when they do give you the full experience. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't find it the worst if they don't want to bring their significant other on. Because an individual can be entertaining in their own right. They don't have to display their relationship. And it can be so damaging to someone's relationship to be picked apart on TV, and also for people, like, just because you are a personality and you like being in the spotlight and you want to be on TV doesn't mean the person that you really vibe with and connect with in that personal way is going to thrive in a spotlight. So I think it's okay to, like, be like, this part is unavailable.
I guess. It just, I mean, sure. But it just feels like sometimes on Housewives, especially, like, if you're going to be one of the first queer people on it and you're not even going to show the queer relationship and everyone else is showing their husbands and boyfriends and stuff, it just feels weird.
Yeah, but I could also see her be, she embraced her queerness later in life. And I think she might, and she's of an older generation that has older, she lived a lot longer under a certain culture about being out and gay.
Yeah.
And I think she could, would probably still be coming to terms with that. Or, like,
yeah, that makes sense. I just hope that if we're not going to get, like, if it seems like she's already going to be guarded about that part of her life, let's just hope that she gives more this season. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because last season, I liked her house. I liked her shoe collection. I liked her overall, like, vibe of, as in kind of like, I want to be you. But in terms of, like, giving us Housewives, she gave us nothing.
Mm.
In my opinion. So let's hope that she gets more this season.
But I think it's just because she didn't react the way you would have reacted in the situation she was in. Because you want to see herself in her shoes. But I was kind of entertained by her. And she provided a lot of, like, content for the other girls to talk about.
She provided a lot of merch, for sure.
But that's something to talk about. Anyways, I'm not a Jenna Lyons apologist, but...
Apparently you are. I am excited for Bren / Jessel of it all, because it seems like they have become, like, good friends post show too. And also I'm really excited because I checked and Bren almost has more followers now than Psy does. Ooh. So I'm kind of like one, like, sneakily hoping that if Psy's like, I'm an influencer, Bren's gonna be like, well, I have more followers than you on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, the other news is it's not really news, but the first episode of the Potomac reunion has dropped.
That was brutal. I want to rewatch it.
It was good.
It was, but it was kind of brutal.
It was very brutal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, this is the first time Giselle's looked good at. She did look good last year in the blue dress she had on and the hair. That did look nice, but it was kind of like one of those dresses like a lot of people were wearing. So it was kind of like by the time she wore it, it seemed a little.
I thought she was one of the first ones to wear it.
No.
Lisa Vanderpump wore it after her.
It's not just the diamonds. I mean, like, the full body, like...
The bodysuit with the diamonds on the gloves.
Everything's monotone, but then they added the sparkles.
Well, that's a brand. I don't can't remember what it is, so...
No, I understand, but I'm saying that look in general has had, like a 4 or 5 year, like,
yeah, you're right.
Life cycle. And so, it's still... She looked good. But this is the first time I was like, you look good, and it's not tired. And props to your mama.
What is tired is being mean to Candace and she's about to cry. But I do think, like, everybody, it did seem like that everybody came into this reunion with the knowledge that everyone is hating the direction of the show right now. And I think they, like, might not necessarily have been working towards exactly what you would want to see in terms of, like, building their relationships back up. But they at least were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get anybody, like, shutting anybody down really that much. It was kind of a good open discussion.
The whole, oh, here come the tears thing was a little bit of a shutdown.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
But I also kind of think, like, okay, I guess if you're crying about, like, wanting to be friends with Robin still, but then you can't come to some kind of resolve, it is kind of dumb. Pointless. So I don't know.
I'm also confused. I really want to understand, because we've experienced people having differing opinions about this, the whole Giselle Chris of it all, whereas I feel it's very obvious that Giselle was insinuating something much worse than maybe the factual words that came out of her mouth.
Yeah.
But there's people, i.e. your mother.
And your mother.
Oh, yeah, true. And that do not see it that way. And I really wish I could understand the perspective difference?
Okay, here's the thing that I feel like, even in this reunion, I was kind of thinking it. I do think Giselle's immediate thing did seem accusatory, especially putting that up next to other things with saying that he cheats and saying whatever.
Sneaky link.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, she did really just say, like, he pulled me in a hotel room and I felt uncomfortable. Like, she didn't really say that much else besides that. So I do kind of understand the point of, like, that maybe she, it was just taken way too far. But it is kind of like, why are you going to say that at all if you're not implying other things?
The way she introduced it. The way she introduced it.
Yeah.
Made it what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I don't know. I understand the point that she, at the end of the day, did just say those exact words. Mm-hmm. But
she did say he made me at one point.
Yeah, she did say that.
Yeah.
And then on this reunion, she's trying to deny that. So I guess at least she's saying, like, at least now she's doubling down on the fact that, like, he didn't make me do anything. We just did this thing and it made me feel uncomfortable. And that's it.
I feel like she was trying something, realized she made a monster, and then tried to kill the monster baby.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it's still Frankensteining on a little bit. At least with Candace can't let it go.
Yeah, which is why she's leaving the show.
Yeah.
Which my mom did not know about, which means she's not listening to this pod.
Oh my God.
Every week like she used to. So this is a call out, mother.
Not everybody wants
and
to relive.
And when you hear it, text
the Shaw days.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
The Shaw days. Okay, speaking of the Shaw days, should we get into it? I don't think there's any more Housewives news that I have.
Only that they said that Ashley and...
Well, that's Candace a rumor.
Did we say... We said that last week, too.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever.
The rumor... Well, Candace is definitely leaving. That's not a rumor. That's
yeah, she
confirmed.
Announced that. Yeah.
The rumor is Robin, Ashley, and Wendy might also get the chop.
Right. Okay.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is we did start the Traders UK last night, and it's so good.
I know. I thought I would like... Again, I felt the same way when we started Australia, that I would like it less because of the like lack of personality, like, you know, the housewife personalities, etc. But it is really good.
It is good.
These people, and I think the UK ones are the best, like, at the game, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, so far,
It's only been two episodes, one and a half, but still. Mm-hmm. They seem to be, for it being the first episode, they're really, or the first ever episode of Traders, they're really like strategizing and thinking like 10 steps ahead. The Traders are, which is kind of what the Traders US was lacking. It was almost like these people were just like, whatever, I'm here. I'm a trader.
Yeah.
Like, and gave good personality and good.
Well, Australia was also bad about that. Like some of them, the ones that were the traders, there are two of them. Well, really at the beginning, one that was with it. Three of them were like rocked by it. Mm-hmm. And then one girl kind of like got with it pretty quick. The other two never really fell into it.
Yeah.
Like they were always a little uncomfortable. They didn't want to lie.
Is that just true?
And these craters.
I also like,
they're into it.
It seems like they cast people that like have good reasons for having the money. And so it feels like the stakes are higher.
You want to win, right? Like the woman getting a robotic arm, her hand.
There's a woman on it who doesn't have one of her hands. And she's like, I want to use the money to
buy a hand,
basically. Right.
And you want that for her. But she's already on the chopping block to get booted off the island.
I know.
Sam Zaniel. Okay. Let's get into this episode, Thai Baby Thai. Can I call you that on this?
Censor that.
Beep. Okay, so this is actually, I thought, one of Anissa episode.
It was this is when I like the season is about to start picking up and not like ever go down, I think.
Yeah. They've given us enough introductory
from
content.
Last episode to this one. It's like, okay, now things are starting to pick up.
Getting a stride.
We're getting more than Lisa just going to get a Diet Coke every episode.
Right. So we open up with a little montage. Seth is bringing Meredith coffee and a flower, and they've fully blossomed into their already existing relationship.
Wait, what did he say when he gave her the flower? Something about fully blossomed?
I think, yeah, that's why I wrote it down.
And then she, like, in her tired morning eyes, was like, I love that, fully blossomed.
Then we get to see Lisa and Henry, and they're staging their home for some reason. They never really explained why.
Oh, but, I didn't even hear that.
But yeah, he chases her with a burning bush.
Oh, staging. I think it's staging. Mm-hmm. They're staging the home because she feels like she needs to get the bad energy out from the last, from the party.
Which was it in her home, but okay.
Well, she said she wants him to sage her. So then he starts trying to burn her.
Oh. See, I thought they were saging the house.
She's okay. Like, I know, don't only need my home sage, but I need myself saged after that. So Henry, I want you to wave it around me. And he starts like trying to poke her with the fire part.
Okay. And then we get a little quick shot of Beauty Lab where we are introduced briefly to the singular male, supposedly straight employee. And once again, Heather is sitting on, behind the counters, like she
knows what's going on. She's doing something.
Yeah. I was kind of confused too, because she was like, can you handle it? And I was like, is he doing the injections, or like, do you even know what he does? Like, I'm very confused.
What's going on.
It just feels like she's cosplaying a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing as when Meredith's in her store behind the counter as if she's the cashier of her store.
Right. It's always the experience in business. The further up you go, the less they really just don't know what's going on, really.
I mean, she's on the other token, she's like fully making a whole second Beauty Lab right now and like talking about how she's going to be financially, not in this exact moment, but in this episode, about how she's going to be financially free and stuff like that. And then it's like,
she's just chit-chatting, reading about injections and collecting it, collecting the money. That's she's watching.
Yeah, exactly. Numbers. She's building it, like she's making it grow, but she's not behind the counter. So why are we putting her there every time that we see her?
Right. Okay. And then our first little pit stop is with Jen. Now Jen is in mourning because
she is
her. After the party, we've learned that Coach Shaw is not in communication with Jen. She's been cut off.
She's been shopped.
So she's been shopped because she was a shad churl. Now, of course, we won't get to see her acknowledge that her behavior at the party was all her own fault, but she will be blaming Whitney fully.
She won't be blaming anything on herself.
Right. She does say she's embarrassed and sad that she lost control. So she does acknowledge that she lost control.
Here she acknowledges it.
But again, that's because Whitney brought it up, not because she's a toddler.
Yeah. Or was drunk.
And she was talking about how much that party meant. She hadn't thrown him a birthday party in 25 years. And which is another thing.
That's a lie.
Right. Anyways.
Or if it isn't a lie, then you're just doing it for the show.
Yeah, but then she was talking about how much it meant to her and how this is so bad because of all these things. And I'm like, but if it meant that much to you, then why did you lose? Like, why did you blow up? If it really was that important, I don't think you would have. I don't know. I can see situations where people, like, I guess, who have anger issues and things can still spiral. You can throw a party and still be sad type situations, right? But
yeah.
But your response to somebody, if somebody like brought that to you, you could say, okay, I'm going to deal with this later.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your internal issue. It's an external issue. So just say no.
I mean, it's just her pattern of behavior.
Right.
I think this maybe is just one of the first times maybe that Sharif has seen it, like to that extent, because he doesn't talk to her for 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, we have seen that multiple times and her employees have definitely seen it, but he's out of town a lot.
Yeah. And I think this episode, I don't know if it was exactly this point, but I think this is a period where I think Jen realized, like, you can just, like, it's really genuine that she fucked up. Mm-hmm. Because somewhat, like, I think she got on the show, and I think part of her little anger issue spiraling at the party was in part because for entertainment purposes, like, the cameras are there, you need mm-hmm. to provide content. Mm-hmm. But I think.
Bless you.
Thank you. I think she didn't realize, like, I think the impact on her marriage was real. And she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, later she's joking, like, if we get divorced. But I think she actually was thinking that in the back of her mind.
Yeah. And that always, a lot of housewives have said, when you get on the show, if there's cracks in your relationship, they are going to be, like, visible for everybody to see.
Yeah. We can talk about it later when it comes up, though. But I do think she excuses her behavior a lot this episode, though.
Oh, yeah.
This part where she's, like, kind of in mourning and just talking to, like, one of the Shaw Squad at the beginning, I do feel like she's regretful. But later, it does feel like she can't really take accountability.
I don't think she's talked to anybody yet, because this is the part where she was, like, remember she was, like, holding her house coat around her very, like...
Yeah, there was just one girl that was there.
I wrote it down.
Oh, okay.
It's later.
Oh, okay. She's wearing the same outfit. It's clearly the same filming time.
Okay, well, after that, we get to see Whitney. Now, she's joined Heather at Beauty Lab, where Heather's cosplaying.
Yes.
And they're having a little convo about what went down. And they both agree that Whitney did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Which, do you agree with that?
I mean, I do think, like, it's Housewives and you're at one of maybe the last of big events of the season. Like, yeah, bring it up.
You got to give, yeah.
But what I, well.
What she does say. What? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, of this little conversation here, Whitney basically takes zero, or like, Whitney basically doesn't remember what happened because she was so drunk.
Oh, right.
So then she's like, I had everything under control and it would have gone fine if you hadn't butted in, Heather. But it's
she thought Heather was overpowering her.
She thought Heather like brought it to Jen wrong, like in a wrong way, whereas she thought she was going to bring it to Jen in a loving, kind way. But really, her being that drunk postponed what she was going to say for so long that it built Jen up to be like, what the fuck is the problem?
Yeah.
And then when Heather said the problem, then she exploded.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was Heather's fault.
When she said it wasn't received well by me about Heather butting in.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't note that she wanted to be, she said that they're both basically saying that they want to be good friend to a Jen. Good friend to a Jen. They wanted to be good friends to Jen. But this whole thing started with Whitney talking to Mary about standing up for Mary.
And yeah, so, we're not talking...
And Mary,
nobody is standing up for Mary at all.
I know. And since that first conversation, which started this whole little plot line, nobody's brought up Mary again. It was clearly never about Mary to anybody else.
But Mary only brought it up to be like...
Because she was excluded.
Yeah. Right? And she wanted to tell Jen how she felt.
She did the efficient work. She stuck her finger in and created a tidal wave.
Yeah.
But I just think it's funny that...
But at the end of the day, she also wanted to be like, you need to stick up for me. Mary is saying this to Whitney. And then out of nowhere does anybody stick up for Mary.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we also get to see...
For being excluded.
Huh?
For being excluded, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So like you said, Whitney thinks she didn't really do anything wrong and that her delivery was fine. And she does not remember how drunk she was.
I don't remember that if they do, but I hope that they like really hounded her about that on the reunion, about how drunk she was and if she remembers it or not.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes up. Now Heather's takeaway, interestingly, is that the other girls are lying. And she's not playing that game. But Meredith and Lisa are lying about how they feel about Jen. And then I think she says the most important part after this, which is the real issue Heather's having, is that she thinks it's because they validate. Wait, what? Oh, about Jen. It's that Jen thinks
that
Lisa and Meredith can validate Jen.
As a like upper echelon person in or woman
in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Right. Because both Meredith and Lisa, especially Lisa, I think, have that regard in the city.
Right. So, and it's giving a little bit racial tension of the whole, like, you know, you have this Jen can be super wealthy, but she has to get validation from the two skinny white women, rich white women.
Mm.
Which Heather doesn't feel like she can do that because she's, even though she may have been rich at one point, she's like a disgraced Mormon and a single mother and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Heather is taking the whole thing personally a little bit when I don't think it's necessarily that. What I think it actually is Lisa and Meredith probably did say that to Mary, that they're scared of Jen, because whenever they're like, she's a liar, they don't say it about Mary. They say it about Whitney. So I feel like if they were going to be mad at anybody, they should be mad at Mary for like,
yeah, but they're skirting it.
Lying.
Lisa's kind of, they've done like eyebrow raises. Like somebody's making it up.
Yeah. But I think they're applying Lisa or Whitney. Mm-hmm. But I also think on the other hand, like Whitney, oh my God, that scared me. There's a giant bug. I think on the other hand, oh, it's coming right for you. it is bug central right now. There's two bugs fighting outside too. I think that, oh my gosh, I'm so distracted. Sorry. Oh, it's coming back.
What are these called? Mud dippers? Muad'Dibs?
Yeah, it's called Muad'Dibs. They're called, those are not mud daubers. I don't know. They're called Gillinappers or something like that.
What in the redneck?
Anyway, I think that Lisa and Meredith kind of yes girl Jen a lot, but they probably do, like, I think they are in some ways fake in front of her.
Yeah.
And I think Jen realizes that she can use that to her advantage. So she doesn't really want to believe what Whitney's saying. So then she's mad at Whitney.
Right. So Heather is irritated because she thinks Jen should recognize this, but Jen won't because she wants validation.
Yes.
So cool. After that, we get another montage. We get Meredith, ski goggles, and sex conversation with Seth. They're in their home. They're going to go, I guess they're going skiing or hiking. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
But he just bought ski goggles because they were on sale, he says. But then he also says that he wants her to fuck him in ski goggles only.
Right. But she did. And when, remember, I don't know if you noticed this, but when he said it the first time, she stuck out her tongue. Like, she was like,
like she wanted it too.
I think so. And then she realized she was
on. That's some Utah fantasy right there.
And then, okay, another bizarre thing with Lisa, where they're talking about, basically Lisa was a little uncomfy with Whitney's dancing at Coach Shaw's party.
Yeah.
And she called it girls. She said girls in Utah are good for breeding and dancing. Is that what she said?
That is what she said. She said, you know what they say, girls in Utah are good at two things, breeding and dancing.
And that was so, I was like, do not say that.
Breeding?
Don't ever talk about humans and breeding. That's just so bizarre to me.
Okay, but one of my favorite things
a scientific level.
One of my favorite things is in gay culture when they call straight people
breeders.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
Yeah.
But don't just like in casual, like just in conversation, just be like, breeding.
Okay, but I think she means like that women in Utah have a lot of kids. Families tend to have a lot of kids. Mormons.
Yeah, say having babies.
But they're good at, good at having
breeding.
Breeding.
I hate that. I don't know. It just hit me the wrong way. I didn't like it. I don't like it now.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, that makes me uncomfy. And she also said something that I also find really annoying. Don't twerk in front of husbands.
Yeah.
I hate when women take the onus off of men for their behavior. It's like men aren't these like, even though, okay, men do develop emotionally slower. I think they proved this scientifically or something, but like,
they're not raging
idiots all the time.
And guess what? Coach Shaw was just like having fun, and Jen was having fun, and everybody was just kind of dancing. It was not like anybody.
But
was,
I'm saying in general,
taking her dancing as like, ooh, my, ooh,
I know. But like that insecurity, and that also like if you're,
she's just
if
looking
that's gonna make men do something, they were gonna do something anyways.
Well, Lisa's not a girl's girl. She's willing to slut shame.
Yes,
which is honestly this season. So far, it's been like, I remember why the things I like about Lisa and that she's crazy all the time and does like kooky things. But right now, I'm starting to remember the reasons that I don't like Lisa. Like this episode like
her,
in particular.
It's like her chaotic outer existence is entertaining to watch, but her inner world is kind of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then we have Jen Jen. She's still mad.
Which is ironic for what happens later in this episode. I'll say that.
Very that. This is where we see Jen talking to the assistant in her little house coat.
Okay.
But I made a note of it because did you look at the girl's face?
Yeah.
She just was like, I think so obviously pretending to be interested and acting like she was also mad, but she was also like looking up at the ceiling while he was talking. Yeah. Okay. Then we get Meredith discussing what happened at the party. This is where she does her little eyebrow. Somebody's lying. And she's also letting everybody know that what's going on in her relationship is nobody's business.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nobody's business to begin with.
She's just by herself.
I think she was talking to somebody, but I didn't write down her.
This isn't when she's talking to Lisa.
It was a montage.
Or Lisa and John. And stuff.
No, it's not the dinner. Okay. No, that's later. Then we go back to Lisa, who's also saying that she never said that to Mary.
Yeah.
About being scared of her. And she also says it's bizarre. Okay, what notes did I write? Because this is bizarre. My notes are bizarre.
I think that's basically all she says. Is like, basically that she thinks Whitney is trying to...
Right. Cause drama.
Cause drama and make Jen mad at them for no reason, blah, blah.
And this is where she says, work less on her dance moves and more on being an adult.
Yeah.
Which, that's tired. And... She also said, interestingly,
what she should have said, what the real read would be is she needs to focus on handling her liquor and focus more on being an adult.
Tea.
Because that would have been the real read, because Whitney was actually like, everything did kind of stem from the fact that she was just too drunk to be able to say to Jen what she was trying to say to Jen.
Yeah. Too drunk and scared.
And scared, yeah.
Still scared despite the drug.
Yeah.
She also said that she understands, or she said, if I was Jen, I would have thrown the glass too.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was really interesting. I don't think Lisa's ever done anything. And I think they bring, like, they all kind of make comments about violent behavior later on in the series.
Yeah. So, I just think she was just trying to validate Jen yet again and trash Whitney.
Okay, so then we go to Mary, which is, this is really the only time we see Mary, except for a phone call.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is where she has a phone call
with Whitney. Yeah, this is the only time she's in that episode.
Right, so we start off, we get to see, is it Charlinda?
Yes.
Yes, Charlinda is the housekeeper cousin. and she's trying to help.
Keep it in the family.
Mary out with her belt, which is sort of like this very wide... I don't know.
Red leather belt with hips.
Yes. And we get to hear Mary tell us again that fashion is a mental escape for her. From her. She's wealthy, but she is plagued by many things.
She literally has like the biggest house on Housewives, and she's in her confessional says she has to buy an apartment to put more things into it.
Right.
Which I'm like, that's a storage unit.
Yeah.
Buy a storage unit. Yeah.
They have air conditioned ones, you know? So
yeah, exactly. They, where do you think Kim Kardashian keeps all those things?
Right.
Get up. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Very that. But Whitney calls her. And basically, she just tells her what happens. Mary does look shocked that she brought it up at the birthday party. She's yes. a judgmental.
She's
about
very
that.
Shocked. She's like, oh, okay, you brought it up there.
She was like, I don't think you should have done that in her confessional. But she doubles down and says that they've said that to her, that they both have been insinuated, at least that they're scared of Jen.
Yeah.
But she also says she understands why they would deny it.
Yeah.
So because
they want to be on Jen's good side too.
Right.
I mean, if someone was throwing me $80,000 birthday parties, I'd want to be on their good side forever.
And that's really all we see of that. Next, we go back to Heather. And this is where they are checking out the construction of their new beauty lab facility.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, you just gonna like, really what we learn here is that, business is growing, and she does make an interesting comment.
Yeah. Which I forgot about this.
Yeah. About, you know, she wouldn't have been able, she says two things. One, she wouldn't have been able to do this in her marriage, because other people, obviously other women could be married, have kids, and still have a business on the side. But that wouldn't have been possible for her because she would have been expected to focus on being a wife and a mother.
Mm-hmm. And he was really rich, so.
Right. And then the second thing that she said, interestingly, was that she does get alimony, you know, but that if they start taking, like, salaries from the business, which they've gotten to a point where they feel like they can,
yeah,
that she will no longer accept alimony because she would consider that double dipping.
Yeah.
That he's only giving alimony so that she can be a stay-at-home mom, and if she's not going to do that. But I don't necessarily agree with that. Not in the sense that maybe...
I think she just wants to be independent.
Yeah, she does say it would be independent, but she still has kids. Like, he can still give to support the kids.
Yeah, which, but also it's like the kids are about to be gone, so that probably... But
the youngest one's still, like, early high school, I think.
That's or middle true, school. At that point, they are.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, maybe, like, then he would still pay child support, but that's different than what she gets.
The alimony part. Yeah, okay.
But it is interesting because, like, in recent years, I feel like even, like, Mary brought up, or someone brought up, like, at the reunion, this recent reunion, like, the Heather bought her new house, but, like, that maybe she wouldn't have been able to do that without the husband or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, sure, that's true. She probably wouldn't have been able to start the business at all without having his money at the beginning. But, like, I do think if this is true, if she does stop taking money from him after this, then that's really commendable. And I kind of forget that. And yeah. I think that they forget it too, if that is the case.
Right. I forgot about that too.
But also, I mean, I'm kind of on the terms of like what Sutton said, which is like, if they're going to keep giving it, I'm never going to stop taking it.
Well, the thing is, if somebody's so wealthy that it like...
Yeah, exactly. But like, they don't care.
What's it to you? Like, yeah. I don't know. You might as well give it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also think there's something to say for like, okay, if you put your time, like it wasn't her decision to leave the marriage, even though you could make an argument that she wasn't in the marriage for the right reasons, but that's like a cultural viewpoint.
Yeah.
Other people see things differently, blah, blah, blah. And she was in it for whatever reason. And she did those things. So him leaving her like that, and all the fallout that she's had because of it in her personal life and religious life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe justifies like he does owe that to her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could say that. And she still takes care of his kids. So.
Right. Now we leave Beauty Lab and we go back to Meredith, and they are meeting John and Lisa for dinner. Seth says he's always excited to see John and Lisa.
Yeah. This was snooze fest, honestly.
I know. It was interesting that I remember at the beginning she calls her, "You're my sister."
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen ever again.
Garbage whore.
Worked out in New York. But they just take this dinner as an opportunity to tell John and Lisa that they are officially back together as a couple. You know, kind of gush over the improved status of their relationship. And to once again reiterate that they are not scared of Jen. But Jen is shit talking.
This just makes me wonder if like this first season, like how long of a time it was filmed over, because now I feel like they filmed for like 3 months.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if all this happened from you telling Lisa that you're on a break with Seth, like at the store and a couple, like that wasn't that many episodes ago. That was like maybe 7 episodes ago. So how long has it been?
Right. I also thought it was interesting that Lisa also somehow made this about her, because if Meredith and Seth can fall apart, then that means her and John can fall apart, and that's scary.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, classic Lisa. Next we're getting to the main course of this episode, which is this very bizarre and dramatic hot tub in the mountains, the boonies situation.
3 hours 45 minutes away from
where that is insane. Okay, I know
where that thing is, and it's like nowhere near Salt Lake City.
Right.
Like do you remember the Gabby Petito thing case?
Mm-hmm.
this was like one of the last spots that she was seen alive, was in these bathtubs.
No, that's okay. Wow. We did not need that energy on the scene.
Well, I'm sorry. This is me bringing the true crime podcast.
We rebuked that negative energy.
I'm just saying, but like, I remember when that case was happening, I was like, those are the bathtubs. And I looked it up and it was like nowhere near Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Whitney's had this bright idea because it wasn't her intention to ruin the party. It was just to save the chest.
Yeah.
And she's invited Jen to go to the spa. But what she did not say exactly was that the spa was very, very far away.
And boondocky.
Yes. Now, Heather is attending, and Heather and Whitney are riding together. So they had each other on the long drive. I don't know if Jen was alone or not. But Heather and Whitney pull up to this spa, quotation marks.
Jen had someone with her in the car.
And, okay, there were pretty peacocks, okay? I did like that.
There were pretty peacocks. There were also...
But I also thought, what in the redneck mountain hell was this place?
There was, like, kind of trash everywhere, I would say, too. Like, I get the whole, like, kitschy, hippie vibes of it all, but, like...
It was mountain shack.
It was giving...
Realness.
Manson farm vibes.
It was giving Oregon Trail, like...
Yeah, but...
Slapdash shit.
But more, like, rednecky than that.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sorry to shit talk this small business.
Oh. But I just mean those are personal choices.
Yeah.
Those are choices. You could have painted those. They look that way because they want them to look that
the way. The tubs and the rock part looked really cool. And like, I would want to do that. But the welcome part looked a little crazy.
Yeah. They had this really bizarre stump art. Did you see that like little tree stump carving, but with faces in it behind her? It was a little
strange. No.
Barbie was like, this is a little terrifying.
Well, that's I didn't like that she said it in front of the woman who clearly either like probably owned the place, really. Because if you knew you were going to be on Housewives, you would probably be the one to like go be on camera, don't you think? If you ran this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman's there, and then Jen walks in and is like, I didn't know you brought me to Ted Bundy's cabin to kill me in front of the woman. And she's just like looking around.
Yikes. Did she call it somebody? I wrote down Penny Pants, but I don't remember what that was
the
about.
The dog's name that she had in her hands was Penny Pants.
Okay. I was just like.
And Heather goes, Penny Pants, Penny Pants.
But yeah, Jen is like, I would never live out here. Did she say, is this a real tumbleweed, or did I see a tumbleweed and write that?
Heather got a real life tumbleweed blew into her. Oh, yeah. She said, is this a real life tumbleweed?
Okay. Which I just, funnily
this enough, was maybe when the tequila and the
yeah, anyways,
was hitting you last night. Was part of it.
There was a, I had a video about this tumbleweed again that happened. I don't know. I guess somewhat recently.
Tumbleweed again?
Yeah, there was like a whole big storm of like tumbleweeds came through this place.
I don't know.
It was like one house was like up to roofs and up to the roofs and tumbleweeds. It was crazy. Anyways, okay. I'm just getting a lot of tumbleweed content these days.
That's wild.
Yeah. So they go up to the main attraction here, which seems to be a hot spring coming out of the mountain, that is, you know, flowing into these three old, like, iron claw foot tub things that they have, that they've cut little holes out of the front so the water can also exit.
Yeah.
They're a little rusty.
They were a little too rusty, I would say. Like, yeah. I'd rather just do the little lagoon thing that they kept showing.
Yeah, exactly. The whole tub thing, I was like, it looks like a nasty tub.
I don't think it was necessarily rust on the inside, but I think it was covered in like
mineral buildup.
Yeah, like silt or whatever.
Yeah, the two things, like tubs should be clean, so it wasn't driving.
I agree to that.
Yeah. So now Jen is expecting an apology from Whitney for ruining Coachella's birthday and also for bringing her to where they're at currently.
Yeah.
Heather at the beginning of this says it was her fault.
She just wants it all to end. I think
I was like, for no reason, out of nowhere, she's like, it's my fault.
I was like, it was all my fault. It's not Wendy's fault. So don't be mad at Whitney. Don't be mad at me. And let's move on.
Yeah. That whole thing. I was like, that's gross. Don't do that to yourself.
And she was like full blown crying and they weren't even like cutting to her.
Right. And then they're like, well, it's also distracting. It's like now they're coddling you and telling you it's not your fault. Or Jen is. And it's like, it's not your fault. It's all whatever. Yeah.
But Whitney, so, I like that she's not really backing down. And she's like, well, I will take responsibility for bringing it up at the party. But like you, Coach Shaw being mad at me, you is not my fault. Like you were the one that he's mad at you, your behavior.
Right. And Jen is getting spiraling again because no matter what she says, Whitney doesn't understand. I think, I mean, from like maybe the best viewpoint is that this like very real tension is happening now in her life that she doesn't want to take responsibility for, but Whitney started. So I think she just wants Whitney to acknowledge. Maybe the best way to look at it.
Like, but I think if I was Whitney, I still would be like, okay, but I'm not the one that flew off the handle. Like we could have. And then later on, Jen's like, you can come to me with anything. It's like, clearly not.
Yes. But she threatens, you know, so Jen's getting riled up again. She threatens to drown her, to drown Whitney. She refuses to take responsibility and she splashes water at the camera. She gets out of the nasty tub. Heather is crying. Why is she crying? I don't know. I just thought this was comical.
Heather's crying because she gets out what she actually needed to get out later. Or like now, once Jen comes back.
Right. But Jen does come back and gets back in the tub. Heather said something and I was like, why is Whitney letting Heather take any blame?
I think the main thing is Whitney still does kind of think that Heather butted in and said the thing that she wasn't trying to say.
Yeah.
Even though that's not the case. And then Heather is just taking, like, just saying, like, you're right, I was part of it. I should have told Whitney we shouldn't do it right here.
And Whitney was like, yeah. I was like, don't do that.
I didn't like that part either. But the main thing with this is that Heather has a little PTSD from her husband up and leaving her.
I know, but you're jumping the gun a little bit.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was a Linux old blurb that I was
gonna make. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm driving this bus.
Sorry. Who's driving this bus?
But like you said, okay, we get to the meat and potatoes of why Heather is inserting herself into this drama and why she's trying to include herself. Because really, this was just a Whitney Jen situation and Heather didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
But Jen is, or deep down, Heather is afraid that Jen is going to abandon her friendship with Heather in favor of Meredith and Lisa.
Yeah.
And this is because
she has abandonment issues, because she did one wrong thing. She feels like she's always a people pleaser. And then the one time she tried not to be a people pleaser, her husband left her. That's how she feels.
Yeah.
So she feels like if she starts turning, like telling Jen things that she doesn't want to hear, that she'll just leave her for Lisa and Meredith.
And I think this is something else we have to remember because this informs some of the stuff that happens later.
I was thinking that too. When she said this, I kind of was like immediately hit with every Jen Heather moment that we have going forward. And it does inform it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like, her marriage really fucked her up.
It's interesting how having this podcast where we talk for an hour ish every week after the show, like, really makes me like remember everything so much more.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of like, I feel like we breezed through the season and like, I remembered it was good. I remembered some plot points, but like, I didn't really remember the main things that this, like a season one does inform you about each of these people.
Yeah, exactly. And this is also where she says, this is at the end when they're kind of making nice. You can talk to me anytime, Jen says, but obviously that's not true.
Right. You can come to me about anything, anytime.
Yeah. Just not
on my Coach Shaw's party when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
But Whitney gets in the tub with her and hugs her.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was like, this is also, I don't know, cringy to me, but.
I don't think it's cringy.
It's just like, you know, Jen's not taking the apology, but like somebody's trying to like physically heal the divide. but it's not really healed. So it's just awkward. Because she says in her confessional that she accepts, she's accepting the apology, but she's not over it, which is a
classic Jen.
Right. Classic toxic person. But that's the end of the scene.
Yes.
And it was, this was like a lot. This was.
And then we get even more. A lot.
So next we go to Lisa, who is having, she's hosting a dinner in a yurt.
Yes.
A blue sky yurt.
Yeah.
And I didn't, we did see, there's a bunch of ladies that come. One of them is Angie H.
Yes.
Who will Angie become Harrington. More famous later on in the show. But it was.
Who now, I still follow her on Instagram.
Oh, you do?
And all she posts now are UFO conspiracy videos. No joke. She'll be like, let's talk about this thing that was seen over, spotted over Utah this week.
This tracks for her. But it was interesting because it put her down as it, when they showed her thing, her like name, it wrote fashion blogger.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember that.
Which means rich husband.
Okay.
Sorry. No, I mean, there are legit fashion bloggers, but that's what it was giving to me. I'm like, they have so much money.
Yeah. I really just thought this whole thing was a circle jerk.
It was such a circle jerk.
I am all, of course, for women supporting women.
What would a women's circle jerk be called?
But like, they were Jill circling real hard.
They were
puss slapping,
circle yurting,
circle yurting. It was just all very schmoozy and like.
Lisa goes weird. Like, I only invited women who uplift other women, and then it was basically just like. A bunch of rich women talking about why they're rich. That was literally the whole thing.
Yeah, rich white women.
What do you do? Oh, I am a fashion blogger. What do? Oh, I run a jewelry business. Oh, this is Meredith Marks jewelry. This is Meredith Marks fur. Oh my gosh, I didn't know you made fur. Yes, I make fur.
Yeah.
Right, it was weird.
Uh-huh. It was just a dinner of that.
Yeah. It made me... But then that's how rich people get richer.
I guess. Meredith was down with it, so that tracks.
I mean, yeah. Meredith was like, this is the best event I've ever been to.
Yeah. Other rich women gassing me up? Yes.
Like, this is exactly the kind of environment I love. She literally said something like that in her confessional. I was like, oh.
Okay, and
it looked boring, except the food looked good.
It did. We are closing out the episode now with a final scene with Jen. Not the final scene, but a scene.
Not the.
I know.
That's three seasons from now.
But Koshaw's back, and they're having, you know, their healing journey on camera. I like when he came in the room and he says, let's visit.
I did not catch that.
That's just like an old school thing to say, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're like not visiting in your own, you're married and you're in your own home anyways. Why is he visiting?
What if he comes in and he goes, can I pull you for a chat real quick?
Have a little bath. Jen is naturally, probably rightfully afraid that he has done, well, maybe not rightfully, but she's afraid he's done with her, that she's gone too far. And this is the last straw. He's going to leave her.
Yeah.
And he says he loved the party. He was just upset about how she acts when she drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jen takes this opportunity to say, well, you are the reason that I'm drinking, asshole.
She doesn't call him an asshole.
I know. But, you know, she just turned the boat around. Instead of apologizing, of taking responsibility for her actions, she then says, actually, I'm drinking because it's to numb the pain and depression and sadness. You know,
you not being here.
The two major things have happened to her. Dad passing. And which is also coupled with him being gone all the time, which also caused him to miss not only the funeral, but important mile markers in her dad's health journey where she had to make decisions and be in the hospital and things like that.
Where she had to literally
alone
pull the plug on him alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she wasn't alone, but she was saying like, I remember in other times she says that she is like the oldest sibling, so she feels like she always has to be the one making the big decisions within the family. And so she was saying that in this part, she felt like she was alone and she needed him. And he wasn't there.
Right.
Which I do think all these are real emotions that she probably has been holding pent up.
Right. But this is why it was, to me, irritating. Because, like, these are all valid feelings.
Feelings.
Feelings, yeah. The Whitney's coming out. But it's when you don't separate them from the two things.
Yeah.
Like, you still need to take, you have problem A and problem B. And you're talking about problem B, so you need to not
blame problem A for
tuck problem B under problem A, which is somebody else's problem.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, so I really, I mean, I didn't like that.
But maybe there was more that we didn't see, because he was very receptive to it all.
Yeah, because I think he probably knew. Well, maybe not that he knew, but I think it would make sense. If
and then we have problem C, of course, which is that she is running a multi-million dollar company that is a scam for elderly people, and she probably will get caught at some point.
Right.
Which could lead to anger issues.
Yeah.
And drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I did think, you know, outside of the whole fraudster of it all, you know, she is doing it illegally, but she does make quite a bit of money. I was thinking
the same thing. Like, why does he need to work?
Yeah.
And if you can throw $80,000 parties, he doesn't need to have a $200,000 job or however much it is.
I was thinking, if it's this important, like, if you're missing these big moments, I understand you want to have maybe your financial independence or, like, maintain your career. I think those are important things. I don't want to belittle that, obviously. But you're also causing strife in your marriage because you're not being able to be present because you're in a career like that you don't even really have to have.
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to work. You could consult.
Which makes me think he knew at least a little bit that he should be have his own thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it proves anything.
No, I'm not saying it proves it, but I'm just saying, like, if you...
Speculation.
It's speculating. Yeah. It's alleged. Don't come for me.
It's not, I guess you're alleging.
I'm alleging. No, I'm not alleging anything. It just makes me think that maybe he, like, didn't want to believe it, but he was kind of like, I should probably keep my own job.
I am not inclined to think that. I really think this is more of a, she might make more money, but he's of an older generation.
True.
And he's not going to be
not providing.
Right. And he's not going to not work. And he's doing something that, sports were important to him. He played it. He had a neck injury, so he couldn't play anymore. And now he coaches.
True.
But you don't have to be in a position that requires you to be gone all the time. Again, you can consult. Right. Again, maybe find something that works better with your life, especially when you don't, when you have the resources and time to, like, find that instead of, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways. But yeah, that it does. It ends on a good note from them. Again, he's a very emotionally mature person. So,
right.
Maybe not morally if he knew what was where the money was coming from. But he also said that she's never opened up like that to him before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, never? Because you've been married a long time.
No, I think he meant she's never opened up about that stuff to him before. Because, like, it happened a year ago.
Particular feelings. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Well, that's the end of the episode.
Yes. And next time on, we're going to Vegas, right?
Vegas, yeah.
Which I'm going to Vegas in 3 weeks.
Ooh. Maybe you'll get some inspiration.
I know. I was kind of thinking that.
Maybe you'll want to go visit.
If I remember the trip, I feel like they're just, like, always in, like, the hotel or something.
Yeah. And then there's a fight in, like, a restaurant. Not a restaurant, but, like, this bar. I remember what it looks like, but I can't remember.
I honestly feel like the restaurant, quote unquote, was just like the ballroom of the hotel or something. Like, maybe. Low budget, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah. There also, I forgot a little bit, but there is more Jen versus Heather. When it comes to taking accountability for the party again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a really good episode, honestly.
Yeah, the bathtub scene is pretty iconic.
It is. I'm also...
Also, the nerve, the gall, the audacity to splash water at the production.
Also, company. What you didn't say about that part, or what we didn't say about that part, was she splashes water on the camera, and then the producer says, why did you do that? And she says, because you're fucking filming me in the bathtub. Like, implying that, like,
they're
perverts or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird when it's like you...
this is not the first time nor the last that you're on camera
in a bathing suit. Yeah, it's really weird.
They always have that one. There's always a hot tub scene.
There's already been multiple hot tub scenes
every season.
This season.
I know.
Yeah, because it's always cold.
Right. So.
Okay.
All right, opening theme.
Anyway.
That's been the episode. I'm done talking about it. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've lasted this long, Tyler is going to close us out because he's good at that.
Please rate us 5 stars, please. And subscribe and follow wherever you're listening. And you can follow us on Instagram at Privileged Twinks. Every week I post a little graphic of our, if you are hearing that noise in the background, someone has come to leaf blow off our deck. Anyway, I post a little graphic every week, which is a good opportunity for you to comment your thoughts on the episode and on our episode. I also have another podcast. It is called Culture, but spelled Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. It's linked on Spotify as well. But it is basically another podcast where I talk about TV shows. But instead of one particular TV show, it's everything I watched all week. And I do it with my friend Kaina. So check us out over there if you want to hear me talk for even longer. And otherwise, this has been Privileged Twinks.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Travis.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.